Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah Daf Chaf Hey. We left off on Daf Chaf Dalit Amid Beis, a couple of lines, about five, 6 lines after the Mishnah. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. Today we're going to discuss, first of all, we started the discussion yesterday about Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's statement that any mechitza that's Eini Yichol Lama, Baruch Metzuya, is Eini Mechitza. That if it's unable to withstand the Ruach Metzuya, then it's not a valid mechitza. So we questioned that based on our Mishnah, but we're going to bring three other rayas against Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. We're going to answer each of those rayas. Then we'll begin the sugya on at the Mishnah on Chafei Amar Aleph of Osek B'Mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah. And the Gemara is going to have the limud of how I know that Osek B'Mitzvah, Shluch HaMitzvah, Pater Min HaSugah, how I know Osek B'Mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah. And we're going to have two possible sources for that idea of Osek B'Mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah. We're going to explain why it is that we need both of those sources. The Gemara along the way is going to tell us that an Avel is Pater from Tefillin, and we're going to explain why that would be the case, that an Avel is Pater from Tefillin. And then we're going to talk about the Patur of Chasen V'Shul Shvinov from Sukkah, and we're going to suggest different solutions to an issue that raises as well. So essentially, today's daf is the Osek B'Mitzvah Pater Min HaMitzvah daf. That's the primary sugya, certainly, of today's daf. So let's begin. Again, we left off Tashema, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the end of the page on daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. So what we're challenging is Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's statement that any mechitza that's any yichol lama baruch metzuya is eina mechitza. So says Mar Tashma, I'll bring you a raya not that way. Hayisham ilan ogeder al mechitza sakanim nidon mishum diyomad. We said that when you have pasi biroos, when you have a bar in Rishus Harabim, and people who are only regalim need to feed their animals, and it's Shabbos, the bar itself is a Rishus Yachid, the area around the bar is a Rishus Harabim, so we have special kulas to allow for lighter halachos in terms of how to turn the area immediately around the bar into a Rishus HaYachid. So one of those kulas is Pasei Biraos, that we could set up four one amma by one amma corner pieces around the area, and that's enough to turn the area into Rishus HaYachid. So we said that it doesn't have to be boards, it doesn't have to be flat boards that are one amma by one amma. It could be a tree or a fence or mechitza sakanim. As long as it meets the measurements, it's neither mishum diyomed. But the point is, but wait a second, isn't a mechitza sakanim something that easily sways in the wind and it's not able to withstand a ruach metzuya? Says Marna Hasanami mishum davele b'lutz v'dafna. Over there also, we could say, just like we touched up our Mishnah, where we had the same problem of also sukaso bein ilanos, that the branches sway in the wind and don't withstand the ruach metzuya. So we said you made hutz v'dafna to hold it together very well, that you added the kind of shrubs that will not blow in the wind. So here also we're talking about where you tie it together, you have something much more solid that holds it together. So Tashma says, okay, we'll bring a second raya. Ilana Mesach al Aretz. Let's say you have a tree that has a long overhang, a branch that overhangs the area around it. Im ein nofo gava min aretz shos tfachim. If the overhang of the tree goes to such a point where the branches reach all the way down to within 3 tfachim of the ground, so you can stand under a branch of a tree and be surrounded on all sides. There are such trees. We don't typically see them growing around here, but there are such trees like that where you could go under the branch of a tree and you'll be surrounded ki'ilu by mechitzos that are generated by the branches of the tree. So as long as that branch reaches within 3 tefachim of the ground, metaltel and tachtav, you're allowed to carry on Shabbos underneath that tree. But amai, yokazil vasi, the branches of a tree sway in the wind, so why would that be good enough? And Gemara, so nami double boots of a dafna. The same ukimta, you have to say that we do hutz of a dafna in order to solidify that wall. So frankly, Gemara, but if it's a solid wall, yachi netaltel b'kule, then the halacha should be no matter how large that area is that the branches of the tree enclosed, you should be allowed to carry in that entire area because it's surrounded by mechitzos. Yet, Alama Amar Rav Huna Breder Rav Yeshua Ein Metaltel Nela Beis Asayim. Rav Huna Breder Rav Yeshua tells us that you're only allowed to be metaltel under such such a tree up to an area of a Beis HaSayim, but any more than a Beis HaSayim, you're not allowed to be metaltal. Why should that be the case that you're not allowed to be metaltal more than a Beis HaSayim? If after all, it's a complete Rishus HaYachid that's surrounded by Mechitzos, as a Rishus HaYachid is supposed to be. So it says, Gemara, Mishum Davi, Dira Shetashmisha La'avir. We call Dira Shetashmisha La'avir, a metaltal bo ela sasayim. No, the area under the tree, it's true, it's surrounded by Mechitzos, but its primary purpose is not so that you could live, it's not for the area that it's enclosing, it's to service the area that it's not enclosing. Meaning, the function of such a tree is to provide shade for somebody who's otherwise guarding the area around it. So the primary function of that area is to service the area around it so that someone could watch over that area. It's not to service the area under the tree. And the halacha is that whenever it's not really a base dira, it's not really an area where the mechitzos are meant to service the area that those mechitzos enclose, then you have a limit of a base asayim. More than a base asayim is not going to have all the kulas of a regular Rishos HaYachid. So says Gemara Tashma, will bring a third and final raya. Shavas Bitel Shugava Asarim, Vumei Arba Amos HaBeis HaSayim. If a person makes his place of residence, the halacha is that a person has a limitation of a Tchum Shabbos. You're not allowed to travel more than 2,000 Amos beyond your Tchum Shabbos, beyond your city. If you're not in a city, you're in the middle of nowhere, so you get the 4 Amos around you, and then 2,000 Amos from there. So what if a person is Shavas Bitel on a mound that it's 10 tefachamayu off the ground, and is anywhere between Dalet Amos and Beis HaSayim. V'chein b'neka, or a cleft in the ground, shu amuk asara, which is 10 tefacham deep, v'ume arba Amos on Beis HaSayim, and is anywhere between 4 Amos and Beis HaSayim. V'chein kamma ketsura v'shibolos makifos osa. And certainly if you have harvested grain, and tall standing grain around the area that was harvested, the area that was cut, so now you have a wall of grain surrounding you, malich eskula, you're allowed to travel, you're allowed to walk around within that entire area that's surrounded by mechitzos, because that's your makom shvisa, and then v'chutzol al payamama, and your tchum Shabbos starts to be measured by the end of that area. So that area itself could be up to a base of Sayyid in size, and then you get 2,000 amos of the Tchum Shabbos. So, Avagav the cause of Vasi, but wait a second. The grain that you're surrounded by, the wind blows, and it's not really such a solid mechitza. So how is that valid mechitza where you're allowed to carry up until a Beis HaSayim in that area? It should not be a valid mechitza because it's not Omid Beruach Mitzuya. That violates Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's principle that Kol Mechitza Sheini Yichol Lama Beruach Mitzuya is Eina Mechitza. So the Gemara makes, once again, and the same ukimta. Hasamnami davale buhutza vidafna. In that case as well, we're talking about a case where you somehow solidified that grain that surrounds the open area in the field, and therefore it is considered to be a valid mechitza. Now, when we said that that the area that's in a cleft in the ground has to be between somewhere between 4 amos and Beis HaSayim, why does it have to be 4 amos? 4 tefachim l'chora should be enough. So Rashi just points out, ulahachi nakat v'umei arba amos, it has to say 4 amos, dilavios me arba amos, my mahalich eskula ika, b'lo mechitzos nami arba amos makom shvisis. Let's say you were out in the middle of an open field with no mechitzos. So what's the halacha? You automatically get 4 amos around you, right? Meaning your makom is always defined as 4. That's the minimum. Your makom is always defined as 4 amos, and then you start measuring your 2,000 amos. So it wouldn't be a chiddush if it's anything less than 4 amos to say you get that entire area plus 2,000 amos. The chiddush is that since it's a cleft in the ground, and therefore that counts as mechitzos, even if that area is more than 4 amos, you don't have to start measuring your 2,000 amos until you're beyond that area. So that's why we dafka identify 4 amos as the magic number. Now, Tab Tosos points out, the Gemara says at the end that this is talking about a case where you somehow solidified the grain surrounding the open area. Why didn't the Gemara then follow up with the question? Well, if you've solidified the walls around you, then you should be allowed allowed to carry more than Beis Sasayim. It shouldn't matter how big the area is. You're not going to be able to. We asked that when it came to the tree, that if the tree is really a solid wall around you, that you should carry more than Beis Sasayim. By the tree, we answered because it's really made for the area outside of it, not for the area under it. What are you going to say by the grain? So he says, the Hasam Bilan Amesach Alar Shish was Schach, the Chashak Muka Vadira, Vilacha Leka Schach Ala Avir. Says there's no Hava Amina, that you should be allowed to carry more than Beis Sasayim in an open spot in a field that happens to be surrounded by grain, because there's no roof on it. If there's no roof on it, it's obviously not hukaf ledira. The only time you can have more than Beis Hasayim is if you can call that place a house. You can call it a residence. So if it's a residence, people have very big houses sometimes. So the house can be bigger than Beis Hasayim. So good. So then they don't have to measure the Alpaya Mama until they're outside of their house. But a place doesn't even have a roof on it, like an open field where you're surrounded by grain, that's not a dira. And therefore, the upper limit of how large an area you're allowed to carry on before you start, you're allowed to walk in, before you start measuring your alpaya mama, is the Beis Sasayim. Okay, so now we begin the primary sugya of the daf. Says the Mishnah, Shluchei mitzvah p'turim min ha-sukkah. Shluchei mitzvah are in fact p'tur from sukkah. Cholin mishamshein p'turim min ha-sukkah. Also, second halacha, people who are ill and those who are aiding those who are ill are p'tur from sukkah. And ochel mishosan reichot sukkah. Third halacha, you're allowed to eat and drink snacks outside of the sukkah. Now, if you look at Rashi, how he defines shluchei mitzvah, Rashi writes, Holchei b'derech mitzvah kigon lilmot Torah lahakvil Pnei Rabbo v'lifto shvuyim. Someone who's on his way to learn Torah, to be makbel Pnei Rabbo, to greet his Rebbe, and to do pidyon shvuyim is patur in a sukkah. And Rashi adds, va'afilu b'shas chaniyasan. Even when he's not actually traveling, even when he's only stopping along the way, he's patur from doing the mitzvah of sukkah because he's on the way to do a mitzvah. Tosos quotes this Rashi in Dibra Maskel Shlucha, and he says, you know, it sounds that way from the Gemara that Rashi's correct, that even if you're only holich b'mitzvah b'yom, that you're still patur from sukkah b'layla, even though you're not traveling anymore at night. At night, you're resting. You're patur from sukkah even at night. And Tosos points out, because you have to say that, because the Gemara is going to say that holchei derech are patur from sukkah even when you're not holich l'dvar mitzvah. So holchei derech are only patur while they're traveling. So what does holchem l'dvar mitzvah add? It must be that you're patur even when you're not traveling, even when you're resting. So Tosos asks the fundamental question. He says, I don't understand. V'tema, in the middle of Tosos, he says, he says, if you're able to do both mitzvahs, why on earth should you be pater from one of the mitzvahs? If you're able to accomplish both, he says, what? Is there such a din that while you're being mekayim one mitzvah, you're pater from all other mitzvahs? Right now, I'm wearing tzitzis. So what? So I'm pater from everything else? I'm pater from Talmud Torah? I'm pater from, I didn't have to put on tefillin because I was already wearing tzitzis? I'm pater. It can't be that you're pater from every other mitzvah because you're in the middle of being mekayim one mitzvah. It's just completely illogical, and therefore Tos says he doesn't understand how it could be that shluchei mitzvah, while he's not traveling at night, is going to be pater from sukkah because he's busy doing a mitzvah. So Tosus points out the halach is, the Gemara says in the Dharm Daf Lamed Gimel, if I have neder that I'm not allowed to get I'm not allowed to derive hanah from somebody else, am I allowed to be machzir avedaso? If I'm not that he's not allowed to get hanah from me, I'm not allowed to get hanah from him. Can I do a shava saveda? Is that called that I'm getting hanah from him? How could I why would that be called that I'm getting hanah? Because the halacha is, while I'm osik in the mitzvah of a shava saveda, I'm potter from the mitzvah of tzedakah. So if someone were to come and ask me for money while I'm osik in a shava saveda, I don't have to give him any money. I'm potter from the mitzvah of tzedakah. So I'm saving money by being osik in the mitzvah of a shava saveda. It's called prutad rav Yosef, that if someone were to come and ask me for money, I'm saving that money. So the Gemara says, you're allowed to be maksar avedaso. What about prutas Rav Yosef? You're saving that money? Lo shchicha, the Gemara says. What's the chances that while I'm osik in Hashavas Aveda, someone's going to ask me for money? It's not so common that would happen, and therefore it's not called that I'm getting anah from him. Lo shchicha, if the whole time I have an aveda in my house, you're going to tell me that I'm pater from tzedakah, it's very shchich that someone will ask me for tzedakah. I could hold on to the aveda for weeks sometimes until I find the guy. I don't go weeks without somebody asking me for tzedakah. So what do you mean it's lo shchicha that somebody's going to ask me for tzedakah? Ella says Tosos Vade lo Mifter Ella Bishashu Osekba. Kigon Talush Alaveda Vishotcha Litzorcha. Clearly, when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, you're only part from giving the tzedakah while you're actively involved in Hashavas Aveda. You may have the item in your safe for weeks, but you're not doing anything with it. It's only when you're caring for the item that you need to do Hashavas Aveda, and that's when you're potter from giving tzedakah. If it's a behema that was lost, so you're feeding the animal, you're walking the animal, so at such a moment you're potter. So therefore, says Tosus in the last three lines, v'tzorach lomar, tachnami ari b'chia gavna di mitri di b'ki mitzvah havi mevatli mimitzvos. It must be that we're talking about a case where if you were to burden yourself at night to go to find the sukkah, it would somehow be mevatel you from being able to do any other, from being able to do the other mitzvahs. And that's why you're part from the mitzvah, because it's talking about a case where it's simply not possible to do both mitzvahs. The Ritva raises the question that if you're doing a mitzvah acheres, then you're going to be mevatel from the first mitzvah, then isn't it pashut? Why do I need a possible seeing mitzvah patrim in a mitzvah? I mean, what's the alternative? If we're talking about a case where it's not really possible to do both mitzvahs, I mean, that's essentially tells us his answer, that it's eyesha l'kayim shneim. You can't really do both. So of course I'll sing mitzvah patrim in a mitzvah. Meaning the Ritva says, I don't need a pasuk, because what's the chiddush of the pasuk? That I don't have to be Superman? Meaning if it's not humanly possible to do both, then obviously I don't have to do both, because Hashem made me as a human being. So I can only do what's humanly possible. So of course I don't have to do both mitzvahs. What's the havamina? So the Ritva says a chiddush, that the chiddush of osing mitzvah, patim, and mitzvah is that whichever mitzvah I was engaged in first, the other mitzvah becomes asr for me to do. It's asr for me to abandon this mitzvah to go do the other mitzvah. Normally, we look at all mitzvahs as a tzivoy Hashem, but when I'm doing one mitzvah, every other mitzvah in the world becomes a dvar reshus. It becomes like something that's totally optional, and you're not allowed to abandon a mitzvah for a dvar reshus. So it becomes asr to go do another mitzvah. So a person is in the middle of, Rav Shlomo Zalman points out, a person is in the middle of kriyashma, and someone, an ani comes asking for tzedakah, according to the mitzvah, it's asr to pause your kriyashma to give the person tzedakah. So what's the etza? You don't give any tzedakah to aniyim? No, Shlomo Zalman always in the Shari Chesed, he would line up shkalim on his shtender, so the aniyim that would come by during davening, everyone would know to take a shekel, because he was Shlomo Zalman. He knew that he could trust that an ani wouldn't come and just swipe off all of the shkalim, you know, that the first guy wouldn't take them all, but everyone would just come and take one. He knew that they were going to be coming around, so that's what he would do. The Ran has a little bit of a different sheet than the Tosfos. The Ran writes that it's not a din whether it's efshar l'kayim shneim. Sometimes, even if it is efshar l'kayim shneim, you're pater. The p'tur of osik mitzvah, though, is only when you are osek in a mitzvah, meaning he's bothered by the same kasha about tzitzis. I'm wearing tzitzis right now, so why aren't I pater from all other mitzvahs? He says, no, I'm not being osek in tzitzis. I'm being mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis. Osek means some sort of involvement. Sometimes you could be actively involved in two mitzvahs simultaneously, and in such a case, you still don't have to do both. That's the Ran's chiddush, and based on the Ran, you wouldn't have the Ritva's kasha to begin with of what's the chiddush, because after all, you're only human. Because the Ran says, no, even if it's humanly possible to do both, you don't have to do both as long as you are osek, as long as you're actively involved. There's another comment to the Pnei Yeshua over here, which is a fascinating question. He says, you want to tell me osek mitzvah patur min sukkah, osek mitzvah patur min mitzvah, I get it. Why dafka mesecha sukkah? Why is this appearing in mesecha sukkah? That osek mitzvah, you're patur from sukkah. You know what else you're patur from? Every other mitzvah in the world, right? So why would the Mishnayis dafka emphasize this din when it comes to the mitzvah of sukkah? It comes up in brachos as well. Brachos, I understand, because we're about to see that the source of osing mitzvah patur min mitzvah is kriyashma. So when you're talking about kriyashma, that's where we should talk about osing mitzvah patur min mitzvah. But why sukkah of all mitzvahs to talk about osing mitzvah patur min mitzvah? So Pnei Yeshua suggests a number of terutim. First, he suggests that maybe the chiddush of the Mishnah is the second line of the Mishnah, that cholim mishem shein are part from sukkah. That not only are shluchim mitzvah who are part from all mitzvahs in the Torah, but even cholim mishem shein. Normally, a chol is not part from mitzvahs if he's able to do it. But there's a special din of mitzta'er part from a sukkah. So a chol is part from sukkah. That's the real chiddush. So we're saying lo zu avzu. Not only is a osing mitzvah who's part from every mitzvah part from sukkah, but there's a special exemption by sukkah for cholim mishem shein. Furthermore, says the Bnei Yeshua, it could be that by Sukkah it's a greater chiddush that Shluchim Mitzvah are Peturim, because the Sukkah is a greater mitzvah. What does it mean, Sukkah is a greater mitzvah? Some mitzvahs you do in one moment, and that moment is the Kiyum HaMitzvah, and that's it. Sukkah is an immersive mitzvah, where every second that you're in the Sukkah, there are a few mitzvahs like that, where every single second that you're that of your day is taken by doing the mitzvah. So Sukkah is constant, so it's always building on each other. Every second you're in the sukkah is another mitzvah. Similar to Minchas Chinuch writes by the mitzvah of mezuzah, that every second of the day, the Minchas Chinuch talks about, there, normally there's a rule, HaMevazvez, you're not supposed to spend more than a responsible amount of money, which we assume to be 20% of your money, on a given mitzvah. Because Shema Ye'ani, V'Yitzdarich L'Brios. We're afraid you're going to become poor if you spend an unreasonable amount of money on mitzvahs. But there are a number of exceptions to that rule. So Minchas Chinuch suggests one exception to that rule would be a mitzvah that's not just a one-time thing. A mitzvah that's a constant. Because it builds on itself. It becomes so big. So he says, if you're of a mezuzah, it could be that you do have to spend more than 20% of your money on a mezuzah. Because it's constant. It's always building. So Bnei Yeshua says a similar svara when it comes to sukkah. That not only is an osik mitzvah pater from a momentary mitzvah, osik mitzvah is even pater from sukkah, which is this unbelievable mitzvah that constantly builds on itself, that's constantly growing. Furthermore, the Bnei Yeshua suggests, by all mitzvahs asay, when we say you're pater from a mitzvah, means you're just not doing something. To violate sukkah, it's bekumvase. When you're not just b'shevi al taseh, not doing something, because it's not a violation not to be in a sukkah. It's a violation to eat outside of the sukkah. It's a violation to sleep outside of the sukkah. That all involves action. So that's a chiddush. That osik mitzvah, pater from a mitzvah, even though the violation is being done bekumvase, the violation is being done in some active way. Bnei Yeshua has a fourth answer as well, but we'll leave it at that. Those mitzvah are from mitzvah. The other point is the examples Rashi gives are somewhat curious. Most of the attention is given to the first example Rashi gives. Like you're going to learn Torah. Learning Torah is one of the exceptions to osik mitzvah patur mitzvah. A person who's osik b'talmud Torah does have to stop learning in order to daven. You have to stop learning to take lulav, and you have to stop learning to put on tefillah. You have to stop learning to do whatever mitzvahs you have to do. So that's the way the Stipler writes it in Kilas Yaakov, is that the gedr of the chiyuv of Talmud Torah is every moment that you're not otherwise occupied, meaning that you're not otherwise reasonably occupied. So your chiyuv of Talmud Torah is only when you're not otherwise doing a mitzvah. So there is no din of osik mitzvah patur min mitzvah when it comes to Talmud Torah. So it's interesting that Rashi gives that example, that you're going to learn Torah. Rashi doesn't say you are learning Torah. Maybe in Echanami, while you are learning Torah, you're not called an osik mitzvah. But he says you're holich bederech to learn Torah. So maybe that is called the nosig mitzvah, when you're on your way to yeshiva. But the other example he gives also, the hakbil p'nei rabo. What's the mitzvah to be makbil p'nei rabo? That's a mitzvah midrabanan. So you're going to say that a person is also going to mitzvah drabanan, he's pater from a mitzvah daraisa. Why does that make any sense? Why should the drabanan take precedence over the daraisa? So the Aruch Liner writes that by every mitzvah drabanan, you're also mekayim a daraisa of lo sasur, and therefore it's ki'ilu you're mekayim a daraisa. Or furthermore, the Aruch Liner suggests that kabbalah p'nei rabo is not the drabbanan. It's midivrei Kabbalah, and divrei Kabbalah is kidivrei Torah. Because that, where do we learn Kabbalah's Pnei Rabbah from? We're going to see in a couple of days on Chav Zayin Beis from the pasuk of the Shunamis. Madua at holachas elav hayom lo chodesh velo Shabbos. Why are you going to the Navi today? It's not chodesh, not Shabbos. So we learn from there. Mikan that a chayav adam levakar Pnei Rabbah beregel, that you have to be levakar Pnei Rabbah. So you see, it's midivrei Kabbalah, which is more than a drabbanan. Others suggest, Bikur Yaakov suggests, it's a daraisa. It's a kiyum daraisa. Because es Hashem elokecha tira, Shimon Amsuni right Amir Nechemi Amsuni Dorish Chalosh V'Torah right at Sheigil es Hashem elokecha tira Miyad Pirish, but ultimately Ashbar Rabbi Kiva and he taught us es Hashem elokecha tira leRabbos Tamid Chachamim, that you're being mekayim the mitzvah es Hashem elokecha tira when you're going to honor Tamid Chachamim. Rabbi Chanan says he doesn't even understand the kasha. He says osik mitzvah patur min mitzvah means that when you're doing a mitzvah you're patur from other mitzvahs, as opposed to when you're doing a dvar rishus, when you're doing something that's totally optional. halachas tidach. We're about to see the drasha of the Gemara. When you're doing your own thing, you're not patur mitzvahs. You got to do. You have to stop your own thing to do mitzvahs. When I'm doing a mitzvah to Rabbanan, is it my own thing? It's not my own thing. It's something that I'm commanded to do. Something that I must do. Whether it's Rabbanan Darais is irrelevant. The point is, it's not lechas tidach. It's not sheves tidach. The patur of mitzvahs is only when you're doing your own thing, as we're about to see in the Gemara. So that's what Rav Elchanan writes in Kovet Shurim. Okay, so let's see the Gemara. So minan yimi, how do I know this din of osig mitzvah patur mitzvah? Tan rabbanim b'shivtcha v'vesacha prat lo osig mitzvah. Very familiar pasuk that b'shivtcha v'vesacha you have to read kriyas shema, but not when you're osig mitzvah. Ubelachtcha v'derech tells me prat l'chasan, that the chasan is not obligated to say kriyas shema. Mikan amra konis is a pesula patur v'salman achayiv, and based on that we say if someone marries a pesula he's patur from kriyas shema, but if he marries an almana he's chayiv in kriyas shema. My mashma, where do you see from b'shivtcha v'vesacha v'lachtcha v'derech that you're patur from mitzvos if you're engaged in a mitzvah? Some ravuna kiderech, because it's telling you that when do you have to say kriyas shema? When you're doing things similar to a derech. So ma derech rishos, just like traveling on the road is optional activity, it's your own choice. So afkol rishos, so too whenever you're engaged in something that's an optional activity, that's when you got to do things like kriyas shema. That's when you have to do mitzvos. Lafukei haydi be mitzvah asuk, as opposed to someone who's doing a mitzvah, he does not have to read kriyas shema. So milo askinan dekazal dvar mitzvah kamarachman alikri. Wait a second, how do you know that derech means that you're going for something optional? I don't know. Every time I go somewhere, every time I drive to yeshiva, I'm going to teach Torah. Most of the time that I'm on a highway, it's to go do a mitzvah. Why else would I be traveling? Right? So who says that derech means that it's for a dvar rishus? Derech is very often for a mitzvah as well. So says Marno, imkein lemakra b'sheves uvaleches. My b'shiftecha uvalechtecha. If it meant any type of travel or any type of sitting around there, then it should have said b'sheves uvaleches. Why does it say b'shiftecha uvalechtecha uvaleches tidach v'dumcheves uvaleches mitzvah b'tiris? It means your own personal reason, your own personal choice to travel. That's when you have to say kriyas shema, because you're doing a dvar rishus. But had it not been leches tidach, had it not been your own personal choice, but rather you're doing a dvar mitzvah, then in fact you'd be pater. So frankly, Gemara, if every time I'm engaged in dvar mitzvah, I'm patur from kriyas shema, ihachi afilu konis salman anami. Why is it that when a man marries an almana, he's chayiv in kriyas shema? After all, he's involved in a mitzvah. Marrying an almana is also a mitzvah. It says, Mar, konis besula tarud, konis almana lo tarud. Someone who marries a besula is unable to focus in kriyas shema. Someone who marries an almana is not so tarud. He's not so concerned. Because when a person marries a besula, he has that concern in the back of his mind that maybe she's not really going to be a besula, and he's not he lacks a certain peace of mind when it comes to the wedding. But if she's an almana, he knows that she's not a besula, and there's a certain peace of mind that he has. So it says, wait a second. So it's not the mitzvah that patters you, it's the fact that you're tarud that patters you. Every time you're tarud, you're going to be patter from doing kriyashma. So if a person has a bad day in business, his boat drowns, with that has all the items that he's supposed to sell over the next 3 months. So now he took a major loss, a major hit in business. So he's very tarud, it's a rough day. So you're going to say that he doesn't have to say kriyashma. And you might say, okay, maybe we give him a pass on such a difficult day, but we know that that's not true. V'amar Rav Yavar Ziv D'amar Rav Amar Rav Avil Chayiv B'Kol HaMitzvah Murs B'Torah Chutz Min HaTefillin Shrei Nem Ben Pe'er. An Avil is very tarid, and he has to do all the mitzvahs of the Torah. There happens to be an exception, which we'll get to later, of Tefillin. That Tefillin he doesn't have to do on the first day of Avils, but all the other mitzvahs in the Torah he's got to do. He's got to do every other mitzvah in the Torah. So says Gemara, Hacha Tarid Tir Dut Mitzvah, Hasam Tarid Tir Dut Rishus. No, when it comes to a person who's involved in a tirtut mitzvah, like the chasan, on the wedding night when he's marrying a basula, that's a tirtut mitzvah. So that, he's patur from kriyas shema. But when it comes to the guy whose stuff, his boat sank in the ocean, and he lost his boat and everything that was on it, that's a tirtut rishus, it's not a tirtut mitzvah. The Gemara is telling me, an avelus is also a tirtut rishus, and that's why you're chayiv in all these in all the other mitzvahs of the Torah, it's not considered a tirtut mitzvah. Why is it called a tirtut rishus? So the Rashi, three lines from the bottom of the page, very difficult Rashi to understand, but Rashi writes, shav bishu chayiv linho gavelus, even though it's true you have to do avelus things, but you don't have to be so preoccupied that you're not able to focus on Kriya Shema. So you have to not bathe, and you have to not anoint yourself, and you have to not wear leather shoes, and you have to sit on the floor. You have to be noheg all dinei avelus, so that one has to do when they're in avel, but they don't have to be tarud. Tarud is your own option, to be caught up in the tsar of the mace, to the point where you're unable to focus. That's only optional. It's a big chiddush what Rashi is saying, because the pashtus is that when it comes to avelus, all of the hanhagos of avelus are only the maisa mitzvah, but the kiyum of the mitzvah is a kiyum shabalev. It's a kiyum of feeling avelus, right? If a person, you know, lost a relative, and they're on the inside, they're feeling like they're having a party, like it's the greatest day, and they're happy and everything, but they're just doing these things. They're following the protocols. Let's say a person on Tisha B'Av, right? No sadness. Well, you know, they're not doing that, but they're following the laws, the strict letter of the law. They're mekayim avelus in such a way. Pashtus is the kiyum of avelus, is a kiyum shabalev of avelus. What Rashi must mean, and that's a dumb repulsion. For Salvation point that out, it's a dumb repulsion that there are certain things that there are meisim that you do, but the kiyum is very clearly a kiyum shabalev. Simchas yamtiv. If I eat meat and I can't stand meat and I have no simcha from it whatsoever, I drink wine, I have no simcha from it whatsoever, I'm a kiyum simchas yamtiv? No, the mitzvah of simchas yamtiv is to be besimcha. Elamai, these are things, these are the actions that normally bring about a sense of simcha. So Pashas is what Rashi means, is that the mitzvah of Avelus does not require, even the Kiyum Shabalev Shabo, does not require a level of tirda that would make you unable to say Kriya Shema, that would make it so challenging that you wouldn't even be able to reach out to the Ribbono Shalom for a couple of minutes to be Mekabel Olmach L'Shamayim. So that level of tirda, meaning that even by Avelus, there are limits, right? A person is not allowed to be the Pasuk in the Torah, he's not allowed to cut yourself over a mace, you're not allowed to express excessive levels of mourning, and that's why after Shiva we no longer observe Dinim of Shiva. After Shloshim we no longer observe Dinim of Shloshim. It's inappropriate to carry the Achronim point that it shows a lack of emuna. Rishonim, it shows a lack of emuna to continue Avelus beyond the prescribed times of Avelus. That a person has to at some point move on with their lives. So that maybe that's what Rashi means over here. So anyway, so says Gemara. Wait a second. V'osik mitzvah padam and mitzvah mehachanavka. Is this really the source of Vasik Mitzvah Padam and Mitzvah from the Psukim of Kriyashon of Shivcha Vesach Vatcha Vaderech? May Hasan Nafka, it's a totally different source. Titania, the Brisa tells us, Vayi Anashma Sharoi Tmeim Lenevish Adam. People who were Tamei came to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, and they said, well, it's not fair, we didn't get to do Karban Pesach because we were Tamei. What's going to be with us? So that's when they were introduced to the Parsha of Pesach Sheni. So Osama Nashim Mihayu, who are these people that were Tamei? Why were they Tamei? So Nosei Aron Shal Yosef Hayu. They were the ones carrying the Aron of Yosef. Divrei Rabbi Yosef Aglili. That's at least Rabbi Yosef Aglili's opinion. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Mishal Vel Tzafan Ayishay Oskin B'Nadav Avir. No, it was Mishal and El Tzafan who were involved in the bodies of Nadav and Avihu. Tosfos says bodies of Nadav and Avihu. According to the Shita that their bodies were totally burnt, then there should be no tumah from the bodies of Nadav and Avihu. It was ashes. There's no tumah of just ashes. So he says, maybe their basic skeleton was still alive. His flesh was burnt off from the Eish that came in Ashrayim, because there is multiple deos. One possibility in Chazal, what exactly happened? One, the deo that we're more familiar with probably is that their guf was kayim. It's just that the fire went into their nostrils and burnt out their insides, but the body remained intact. But there is a deo that their body didn't remain intact, that they were totally burnt. If they were totally burnt, then you don't become tameh from the ashes. So that's what Tosfos says. It has to be, according to Rabbi Kiva Shita, it has to be that somehow they were still, their bodies were enough intact to cause tuma. So Rabbi Yitzchak Omer and so Rabbi Yitzchak comments, well, wait a second. The people who were carrying Yosef's Aron knew that Pesach was coming up, so they could have just stopped touching the Aron of Yosef a week before and have time to have Hazah Shlishi Yushvi become Tahar and bring Karm Pesach. And in Mishal Vel Tzavin, they weren't traveling that week, and in Mishal Vel Tzavin, Yuchal Noy Litar. And if it was Mishal Vel Tzavin who were carrying Nadav and Avihu, also, same story, they could have been Tahar. If it was an ongoing job that they had the opportunity to become Tahar beforehand. Ella Oskin, so a third possibility. Oskin b'meis mitzvah yushchal shvi yishalein lios barav Pesach. A week before Pesach, there was a meis mitzvah situation, and they had no choice but to be involved in the meis mitzvah. It was a surprise; it wasn't something they could plan in advance. And then it turns out that on the seventh day, their seventh day of the Torah process, falls out on Erev Pesach. How do I know the seventh day fell out on Erev Pesach? Shenemar v'lo yochel lasa Pesach b'yom ahu, because the pasuk specifically says they couldn't do the Pesach on that day. B'yom ahu en yochel lasa salmachar yochel lasa. The implication is, had it just been one day later, they would have been okay. Had their tumah come one day earlier, then it would have been okay. Had Pesach arrived one day later, then they would have been okay. So you see that it was the seventh day of the Torah process, where all they would have needed was one day. So what would be the case? The case is a meis mitzvah. But bottom line is, whichever it is, whether it was Osik Baron Shal Yosef or Mishal Vel Tzafan who were dealing with Nadav and Aviyu, or meis mitzvah. But bottom line is, that's where we see Osik mitzvah patur min mitzvah. Why were they allowed to do any of these things? Why are they allowed to be metame themselves? After all, didn't they know that Pesach was coming? So Elamai, because they're Osik in this mitzvah, they're patur from coming Pesach. They felt badly about it, because even though they're patur, they wanted the opportunity to do the mitzvah, so they went and complained that we'd like the opportunity anyhow, but you do see that you're patur from mitzvah if you're osik in the mitzvah, and that's the real source. It shouldn't be from Kriya Shema. So says Mar Tzricha, I need both sources to tell me the principle of osik mitzvah patur min mitzvah. I need both Kriya Shema and the din of Karban Pesach. If it only would have told me by Karban Pesach, Mishum Delamatz Man Chivah de Pesach, I would have said, yeah, you know why they're allowed to be involved in burying the dead, even at the expense of the Karban Pesach? Because it wasn't yet the Zman of the Chi of Karban Pesach. They were burying the dead a week earlier, even though they knew that would preclude them from the Karban Pesach, but you could do that because it's not yet, you don't have a Chi of Karban Pesach yet at that point. But over here where the Chasson is in the Zman Kriya Shema during his wedding, so I would think that it does not pater you. So that's why I need to be told about Kriya Shema. And if we only would have learned about Osik Mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah in the context of Kriya Shema, Mishum Deleka Kari. I would say, yeah, when you're Osik in mitzvah, you're patur from a mitzvah like Kriya Shema, which is not such a severe mitzvah saseh. There's no chiv kares for failure to say Kriya Shema. Aval hasam, dika kares, say below. But Pesach is one of only two mitzvah saseh that involve kares if you fail to do the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. So I would think that Osik mitzvah is not going to patur you from a mitzvah that you have kares for, tzricha. That's why I need to be told Osik mitzvah patur min mitzvah by Karban Pesach as well. So I need Osik mitzvah patur min mitzvah by Kriya Shema, even though the Zman Chiyuv, to tell me that even though the Zman Chiyuv has already arrived, and by Pesach, to tell me that even though it's a mitzvah sheish b'kares, that I'm still patur from the mitzvah. Period. That's why I have two sources of Osik Mitzvah, patur min mitzvah. Now, we happen to have mentioned along the way, when we were talking about Tirda, and who's Chayiv and what, and what kind of Tirda would exempt you, so Gufa, we mentioned that Amir Rav Abba Ziv Damar Av, Avel Chayiv b'kol mitzvah samurus b'torah chutz b'tfilin shaynam ben pe'er. We said that an Avel is Chayiv in all the mitzvahs of the Torah except for tfilin, because tfilin it says pe'er when it comes to tfilin. So we darshan from there that an Avel is pater from tfilin. Midam le rachman li cheskel pe'er chavash alecha. From the fact that Hashem tells Yecheskel, even though Yecheskel in the Valley of Dry Bones is supposed to act out Avelus, he's supposed to go through the process of Avelus, Hashem tells him, but put on tefillin. So you see that the assumption was, normally when you act like an Avel, you don't put on tefillin. So you see that it's an exception, that only for Yecheskel you're supposed to put on tefillin. So you see that an Avel is put from tefillin from there. But v'ani mili biyom rishon, but that's only, that tour from tefillin is only on the first day of Avelus. Because the pasuk says on the Yom Mar, so it's a discussion. The Rishonim, is that only on the first day of Avelus if it's the Yom Misa and Yom Kavura on the same day? What if the Yom Kavura is the day after the Yom Misa, which happens very often, right? Someone dies late in the afternoon. If someone dies very early in the morning, they try to get them buried by the afternoon. Not always feasible. Or some people have to come from out of town, so they wait till the next day to do the Levaya. So the Levaya is not going to be the same day as the Misa, which is most often the case. That it's not exactly the same day as the Misa. So does an Avel wear tefillin on day one? So that there's a machlokas about. That's machlokas Rishon, machlokas Aposkim. Someone emailed me today that in Breuers, if it's not the Yom Misa, the Avelim do put on tefillin when they get back from the cemetery. But typically, I think in most communities, that even if it's not the Yom Misa, on the Yom Kippur itself, after the Levaya, the Avelim don't put on tefillin at Mincha, because Yom Rishon of Avelus, you're putter from tefillin. Lesser known halach is that even on Yom Sheni of Avelus, if there's Panim Chadashos there, you're not supposed to put on tefillin. So you're supposed to put on tefillin before the Panim Chadashos come in. Panim Chadashos mean people who you haven't seen yet. So sometimes they have a minion in the house, so there are people that weren't at the Levaya that come into the minion. So the Avel should put on tefillin before those people come into the house. But that's the din of an Avel being putter from tefillin. That Tosus Naman Aleph raised the question that when do we use Yecheskel as the paradigm of Avelus, and when do we assume that what he's told is the exception to Avelus? Meaning we learn, Tosus points out, that when it comes to tefillin, we say, oh, if Yecheskel was told to put on tefillin, it must be that every other Avel doesn't put on tefillin. Yet when it comes to Talmud Torah, the Gemara Moed Katan Daf Tezvav tells us that an Avel is usher in Talmud Torah. How do I know? Because Yecheskel was told, Hanik Dom, you should be silent from learning. So if Yecheskel was told to be silent from learning, it must be that that's what an Avel does, that an Avel is silent from learning. Why not say that no, that an Avel learns and Yecheskel is told, even though you're an Avel, you should be silent from learning? How do I know when Yecheskel is the exception and when he's the rule? So Tosfos writes, meaning what's different than the rest of the world? If Yecheskel is being told not to learn, that's unusual. The whole rest of the world is learning. So it must be that that's a din of being an Avel. But by telling him to wear tefillin, of course you should wear tefillin. Everyone always wears tefillin. So it must be that that's an exception to the rule, and the assumption is that an Avel does not, in fact, wear tefillin. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Va'amar Rabbi Abba Rav Zivda Amarav. Once recording Rabbi Abba Rav Zivda Amarav, we mentioned the other things that relate to an Avel. Avel chayiv b'sukkah. An Avel is chayiv in sukkah. Well, pshita. Why would an Avel not be chayiv in sukkah? Mal detei mahol v'amar Rabbi Abba Rav Zivda Amarav mitzta'ir patur min sukkah. Hay nami mitzta'ir hu. I might have thought that since mitzta'ir is part from a sukkah, an Avel, after all, is mitzta'ir, so I would think he's part from sukkah as well. Kamash malan, hani mili tzar de mela. Aval hacha yu de kamitzar nafshe. That's why he comes to tell me that's only when the tzar is automatic. But over here, he himself is bringing about the tzar. Ibai lili yusuve daita. He should calm himself down enough to be able to do the mitzvah of sukkah. V'amar Rabbi Abba Rav Zivda Amarav, another din that Rabbi Abba Rav Zivda Amarav tells us, chasen of shoshvinim v'kol b'nei achupa p'tur min ha-sukkah. The chasen and his shoshvinim, the people who help him out, and all the b'nei achupa are all part from sukkah kol shiva throughout the entire Shavuot brachah. So my time, why would that be the case? Rishum Dabar L'michti, because they have to celebrate. So V'lech L'Besukah, V'lech L'Besukah. Who says you can't celebrate in the Sukkah? Why not celebrate in the Sukkah? Ein Simcha L'B'Chuppah. No, the Simcha can only happen in the Chuppah. Chuppah doesn't mean necessarily the canopy that we call the Chuppah. It means the special place that's designated for that week of Shavuot brachah for the Chasan and Kala. They would build like a special room for the Chasan and Kala for throughout that week of Shavuot brachah. So says Mar V'lech L'B'Sukah, V'lech L'B'Chuppah. So let them eat in the Sukkah, and then let them go and celebrate in the Chuppah. Why do you have to have them both in the same location? No, ein simcha l'makom suda. The way we express simcha is by having a festive meal. So you can't have simcha outside of the place where you're allowed to eat. So says Rav Lavdu, chuppah b'sukkah. Why not make the chuppah in the sukkah? And then they'll be able to have both. So Abai Yomar Mishum Yichud. Abai says, no, it's going to be a problem of Yichud. What's the problem of Yichud? That they used to build the sukkah on top of the roof. So Rashi explains, Chassan's going to have to go to the bathroom. So he's going to go off of the roof to go find the bathroom. And now his wife is going to be alone with whoever is there in the sukkah, or one of the Shashvinim or whatever who's going to be there. And that's going to be a violation of Yichud. I, Baila Be'ir. Yeah, Baila Be'ir is not an Isra of Yichud unless it's Libo Gaspa. Maybe the Shashvinim are people that are Libo Gaspa, and therefore would be a violation of Yichud. Rav Amar Mishum Tsar Chasan, that it's just such a lack of privacy. The sukkah's at three walls, and for a week he's got to live in a place where there are people coming in and out like that. So, my benai, what would be the nafkamina? Ika benai, the shchichi and she denafki vaili lasam. The nafkamina would be if there are people that are always coming in and out. So, the madi amishum yichud lekha, then it would not be a yichud problem, but the madi amishum tsar chasan ika, but it would be a tsar chasan problem. Amar Abzera, ana akhti besukkah v'chadi b'chubba. He said, I solved the problem by eating in the sukkah and celebrating in the chuppah, and I didn't think that it took down my simcha one bit just because I wasn't eating in the place where I was celebrating. I was even more happy to kavinda tarti that I was able to do the mitzvah of sukkah and also celebrate my shavuot brachos simultaneously. Okay, we'll stop there. And tomorrow we'll pick up at Tana Rabba. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah.